Welcome to another episode of Nintendo Voice Chat. I am your host, Cat Bailey, and this is episode 626. I'm joined this week by Entertainment Reviews editor, Alex Stedman.
That's me. What's up?
Also, our community lead, Jada Griffin.
Hello, everybody.
And special guest and returning pal in the froggy chair, it's Imran Khan.
Hello, hello.
We have a great panel here. We're going to be talking about the Splatoon 3 previews, the first look at Harvestella, Gamescom news, such as it is, and we're going to be taking a look at Nintendo franchises, where they stand right now. We're doing a tier maker, folks. It's going to be lots of fun. Reb, Pear, and Seth are all in Gamescom right now. Seth apparently is having a tough time of it, so I hope he feels better real soon. But the regular panel will be back next week. So we'll be getting to all of that in a moment. But first, here's what's happening in the wonderful world of Nintendo. Masahiro Sakurai is starting a YouTube channel. Sakurai is officially becoming an influencer. He wants to talk more about game development. He's so wholesome, and I really enjoy that.
I'm so happy this is happening.
the first couple videos he's put out have been fire. They've been excellent. Like, they're short and to the point, and it's very just informative. Like, I'm super excited to see how it kind of evolves over time.
I think one really good thing about it is that a lot of things people think are sciences, like, oh, hit stop needs to work this way. He straight up points out, like, this is an art. This is a thing that works sometimes one way and sometimes another way. It depends on the game, depends on the developer. And I think that's an important thing to get out there so people who aren't game developers don't act like they're experts in it.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm also very curious, though, Nintendo to, like, do this and talk about this, but we may never know that.
He says in the first video that he needed their approval for the footage. He doesn't say anything about content.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He says that, you know, it's purely his channel, so it's not Nintendo backed or anything, but anything that's like behind the scenes, like art or development docs and stuff that he'll share, those are run through Nintendo before he gets to show them off. So
yeah. Interesting.
Natural heir to the Iwata Asks legacy, Masahiro Sakurai, a man who has a healthy respect for Game's legacy, as shown by the time that he sat and talked about Fatal Fury for like 2 hours, just because he likes it so much. I thought it was great. But he also shared his final Smash Brothers screenshot, RIP. He's been doing that since 2019. Disgaea 7 has been announced, and apparently the characters can become kaiju. They can become very massive. It was announced for Japan, but has not yet been confirmed for North America. I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. Multiversus was the best-selling game in July, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3 was the best-selling Switch game, though admittedly, they didn't have a lot of competition.
Yeah, July was a pretty... not to take away from Multiversus, because 20 million people in like a month is a very, very impressive number for a free-to-play game. Xenoblade, it was kind of just Nintendo's only real release until, I mean, Live Alive was the biggest competitor, but I think it was a little screwed by having to be so close to Xenoblade. But yeah, it was a fairly dry month for both for competition, but they did do well in a vacuum.
I mean, let's be real. Do we need more than one massive RPG in a month like July? Like, it's the perfect time to just dive into Xenoblade. There's nothing else to distract you from it. So, like, it's kind of the perfect game to launch in the summer drought. I love my big RPGs, so it's the perfect time to launch it.
That's a really good point, Jada. And it's like, it's the summer, people are doing other things. We don't need a ton of competition, you know?
As a resident RPG liker, I say more RPGs. More RPGs always.
Yeah. I mean, Nintendo obviously thinks so, too, because they moved the game up from September. So presumably they did also think, yeah, it makes sense to just have a big RPG in July at the end of the summer, or middle of the summer, I guess.
Moving up games so hot right now, because Gotham Knights was also moved up. It's not a Nintendo Switch game. We don't care about that game. But Monster Hunter Rise has broken 11 million units sold worldwide, with Sunbreak going at 4 million. Playing it right now. It's pretty good. And finally, happy anniversary to GoldenEye 007, which was released 25 years ago today on August 25th, 1997, and middle school Kat is feeling all of the emotions right now because I sure did play a lot of GoldenEye, though I was always the one getting blown up by the proximity mines and facility.
I mean, was it GoldenEye if you weren't playing proximity mines on facility? Like, that was the main mode, and then it was, you know, all slaps, no odd job. There's, like, hiding in the vents. There's just so many classic things about GoldenEye.
Golden
back
Gun?
In the day. Golden
so Gun. Yes. I love Golden Gun.
Man, just paintball mode just for fun, like, because everybody unlocked paintball mode because that was the, like, the easiest, like, cheat to unlock. That and was it called Big Head Mode or was it called DK Mode?
DK
I can't remember.
Mode.
Yeah.
It was DK Mode back in GoldenEye, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, man, so many memories, so many sleepovers, so many friends.
I remember my mind being blown at the idea that, like, you could fail mission objectives, that, like, it wasn't just a you die and the game over. It's you didn't quite do a thing correctly. Ergo, you didn't get through the level, like, in the ideal manner. Like, I know, I'm sure that was happening before that, but I think that was my first exposure to it.
Yeah, it was my first exposure to a lot of things. It came out when I was really, really young. And I'm not like a huge FPS person, but it is really like the first FPS that I ever really played. And I feel like it's that for a lot of people.
It's so funny to think that the FPS that showed that first-person shooters could be done effectively on console was on a Nintendo platform of all things.
And I will say, not to get all Entertainment Reviews editor on you guys, but there is a documentary out this week called Golden Era. Apparently, one Per Schneider appears in it, and it's all about, you know, GoldenEye 007 and its rise and its impact on the FPS scene. So I might try to check that out this weekend for a little nostalgia.
I think it's so, I mean, talking about the entertainment side of things, I always thought it was funny that GoldenEye came out like 2 years after the original release of the 1995 film. So not only was it a licensed game, it was a licensed game that came out extremely late.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who knew James Bond would have like such a big impact on gaming?
I know that from my vantage point, I did not care one whit about James Bond until GoldenEye came out on N64. And I was like, I have to see Tomorrow Never Dies. I have to play these. I have to play the new game. Why isn't the new game as good as the N64 game? It's just not as satisfying for some reason. So I think that maybe the current generation of GoldenEye owes a lot randomly to this N64 game from Rare.
I know I watched GoldenEye because I was a kid. I had never seen a James Bond movie before. So I actually like made a point to watch GoldenEye a couple of years later. I was like, this movie's not great. I like the game a lot better.
I think that was all our feelings at that age.
Oh, yeah. I thought James Bond was a video game character first. About the movies.
I mean, kind of, right?
Yeah, it was one of those things I bonded with my grandfather because he was a big James Bond fan. So it was like it was a really cool experience for me to be able to like share that I love this game with my grandfather who loved the movies. And so like, it was just an awesome experience growing up.
Your cat take for today is that GoldenEye actually wasn't that great of a James Bond film, but everybody remembers it fondly because of the N64 game and I guess Sean Bean dying.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that normal though?
He does do that. He has
it was novel at the time.
That's his thing.
It was novel at the time, yes.
I remember watching GoldenEye and thinking, this is all right. I actually like Tomorrow Never Dies better than the original GoldenEye. But happy 25th anniversary to GoldenEye. It was a bygone era. Maybe it would be nice if we got the remake. But in the meantime, we can always have fond memories of playing 4-player split screen at like 12 FPS on the Nintendo 64. All right, we'll be getting on to Gamescom announcements in just a second. But first, here's a message from our sponsor. Okay, folks, Gamescom happened this week. There were announcements, but not a lot from the Nintendo Switch. There's a lot of stuff for the other consoles, I suppose. If you play those, I don't. Who plays other consoles? The top story, I think, Pokemon-themed Mini Cooper. Huh? Huh?
I am all for it. I'm all for it. I've been saying for a while my next car was going to be an electric car. I just didn't realize I was talking about a Pokemon car. It just didn't. I cannot wait.
The Gamescom announcement, though, kind of like initially confused me because I watched it and I was like, I don't know what this is. They keep on saying it's a Pokemon car. It is not until I like looked it up after where I was like, oh, it has a projector, which I actually think is really cool. I could use that to like watch movies and stuff too. But I'm kind of like, it's a novelty, but I'm not against it. Like,
yeah, if I were in the market for a car right now, I would strongly look at, okay, what if I bought the Pokemon car?
Yeah, what if I bought the Pokemon car? I have some issues with this car. First of all, it's not yellow, and it doesn't have a tail. What is going on here? If you're going to make it green, then it's kind of a white with green trim. I think they do want real human beings to buy this thing. I do like that it lights up and glows for some reason.
I mean, even though it's an electric car, like it's Bulbasaur themed. Like there's no without a doubt, like that is a big selling point for me. Bulbasaur is my number one Pokemon. He's number one in the Pokemon list of all time. Like he comes first. He was the first Pokemon. Like
he's the original hatchback. So
were you a Bulbasaur chooser when you played Pokemon back
in
the day?
Wow. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I you know, my first playthrough and then every subsequent playthrough, I would trade with my younger brother and we'd get all three and start with all three constantly. But Bulbasaur was always my go-to. So
I was a Charmander. What about you, Imran? What did you pick?
I think the first time I went through was Charmander. I've gone through all of them at some point or another, but Charmander is the one closest to my heart.
How about you, Alex? Or are you a Pokemon fan?
Oh, I love that. Let me move a little bit so you can see my little Vulpix in the back.
Nice.
Yes, but I always choose the fire starter. I wish I wore my fire trainer shirt today. But yeah, Charmander, always the fire starter.
Team fire starter. Right
So, you know, we're like you were saying, Gamescom's going on, not a whole lot going on. Last time I went to Gamescom was like 2-3 years ago, but I took a vacation ahead of time because that's just the smart way to do when you're covering these events. And I took this little guy with me, this little Bulbasaur guy. I took him with me all around Europe. So I have pictures with him in Rome, Venice, Milan, Paris. We're up at the top of the Eiffel Tower. Like it was me and Bulbasaur vacation. It was amazing. It was such a fun time and just like propping him up and taking all pictures of him. There's probably more pictures of him than me on my vacation.
Apparently, Reb brought Business Pikachu with her.
Yes.
She took mine. She left hers at the office, so she's like, can I just take yours with me? She's like, all right, fine.
The plot thickens.
I spotted it during the opening night live coverage. It was sitting there with Joe and Matt Perslow while they were. So I was like, okay, Business Pikachu is also on the job. That's why our opening night live coverage went so smoothly.
He's working. He's got a lot of work to do.
I mean, he charges all their phones. It's so nice.
Oh my God. Wow. That's perfect. Exactly.
Oh, do you think there's ample chargers in the Pokemon car? There has to be, right?
Oh, there's gotta be.
There better be.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah.
I hope it's just wireless charging. I just want my phone to be in my car and it's just wirelessly charging my phone while it's in it.
We are in 2022. Make it happen. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all in California. They just announced recently that all gasoline cars are going to be banned by like 2035. So get that Pokemon Mini Cooper while you still can. It's going to be a hot item.
I mean, is there real quick, is there anything that's Pokemon about it outside of like the Pikachu inside?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
It's kind of a marketing stunt, right?
Yeah.
That's why. There was a Pokemon VW bug once that was kind of Pikachu themed. Okay. That had the tail and everything. Yeah. Yeah. There's also a Pokemon airline, which was kind of cool.
I saw it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to ride the Pokemon airline.
Pokemon knows how to branch out. They know how to, you know, they know how to market their stuff.
They sure do.
I'm amazed at how much hay we managed to make out of this Pokemon-themed Mini Cooper. But on to, like, actual news that was happening at Gamescom. We got a new Sonic Frontier trailer. It's going to be out November 8th. I think that opinions have been a little mixed on Sonic Frontiers. And I'm just wondering, like, are we feeling more positive about it now that we know a lot more about it since this new trailer? What are your thoughts, Imran?
So It looks fun. Like, doing a heavy story trailer, I get the feeling that they're now trying to market to the recent Sonic audience of people going like, hey, when's the next time Sonic's going to focus on story? And this appears to be that. I have noticed people online talking about, and they've been showing videos, that the footage for the Cyber Courses, which is the major reveal of after Summer Games Fest of like traditional Sonic courses, people have been pointing out the level design is exactly the same as previous Sonic games, like literally exactly the same. So I get the feeling, and this is also based on when I played it at Summer Games Fest, these are just things that like they were making a traditional Sonic game, or they had leftover concepts or ideas that they are just kind of shoehorning, is maybe not the right word because that's not really how game development works, but like they're just inserting kind of separate Sonic levels into this game, just going, all right, here's your traditional Sonic stuff. And that's, I think, going to feel very separate and different and might not be great for a cohesive feeling for this game.
Yeah,
I like the obstacle courses. It reminds me a little bit of a Sonic Adventure, that kind of thing, that kind of very technical gameplay.
Yeah. I mean, it's very common in game development where, you know, in previous games, especially with franchises like Sonic, where they build something, it doesn't really fit with the current game, they save it and use it in a future game because, like, why waste that time invested into that development? But also, you know, to Imran's point and to other people have been pointing out that some stuff being identical, it could be done well if it's meant to be like an homage, kind of like how Generations, you know, kind of really brought the series and showed the best of the past and the best of the current Sonic. And so, like, we'll have to see how it kind of shapes out. But yeah, it is definitely a little questionable based on what we've seen so far. But I am cautiously optimistic still. I don't know if this is going to be like in my running for my personal game of the year picks, but I am a big Sonic fan, so I am looking forward to giving it a shot when it comes out.
About it, one of the things that kind of like bothered me about some of the things I have seen is that like the Sonic specific things, like the rings and the hoops, it looked like kind of out of place with the big like Breath of the Wild-esque world that they had. So I feel like in this trailer, it all looks a little more fluid. So that makes me feel a little better. I really like the voice acting. I liked seeing Amy. So I'm going to play it. I'm still kind of on board.
I'm out on it. I don't really want to play it.
You're out?
I'm out. I don't care. I've never been a big 3D Sonic person anyway, going back to the Sonic Adventure games. I'm firmly camped 2D Sonic because old. I like Sonic Mania. I think that was the last Sonic that I genuinely enjoyed. I still think Sonic 2 is my absolute favorite. And I played this one at Summer Game Fest. I was not extremely impressed by what I was saying. Looking at the B-roll, it looks all right. I think the obstacle courses are going to be a good time. I don't really care for the actual overworld gameplay. It feels pretty artificial. I think Imran was using the word shoehorned in. So I don't mean to be super down on Sonic Frontiers. It might be okay, but I think it made a kind of a bad impression
right
from the start.
To be clear, I think that game is going to be bad. I'm just not sure if it's going to be bad and fun. Like, I'd be fine if it's bad and fun. I just don't think it's going to be good.
I mean,
as long as it's functional, yeah, it'll be good.
As long as
don't
we
give
can
us Sonic 06.
It.
Just don't give us Sonic 06 again, and we're good.
I just want Sonic.
It's like a
to
Sonic
succeed.
Mystery Box, right? Is it going to be functional? I don't know.
I just want it to be good. It's not going to be, but I want it to be.
Well, whatever the case, I'm sure that it's going to have a healthy following because that is what Sonic is all about. We have a little more Gamescom news, and then we're going to continue on to Splatoon 3 and Harvestella in just a hot second. But first, another word from our sponsor. All right, a final piece of news from Gamescom. Return to Monkey Island, which is coming out first on Nintendo Switch, has a release date, September 19th. Very cute little trailer in which they were kind of introducing the concept of the game, giving us snippets of the actual gameplay, and promising horse armor, of all things, a callback to that old Oblivion DLC joke, which is a very old joke, but this is a game for very old people. who enjoyed Secret of Monkey Island back in the day. Lots of controversy around the actual art design. I'm into it. Secret of Monkey Island was always trying to be at least a little bit cartoony, and I think that is a piece of this. What do y'all take? Are you excited for Return to Monkey Island?
I mean, I don't play it.
Yeah, like, same. I don't play it, but it looks cute.
Yeah. Like, I like that Ron Gilbert has been holding on to a horse armor joke for 16 years. Just being like, the next time I get a chance, I'm going to make this. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that joke alone has almost sold me on the game, just because I love the idea of just horse armor just sitting in your inventory. You probably won't even get a horse in this game. So, like, it's even more apparent that it will be completely useless. And they tell you that it will be useless. But it's great. It's a great kind of, I don't know, like, the style and just, like, the very campy kind of comedy that these games are known for is just excellent. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it looks very, like, light and fun. You know, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of time for us to really build expectations on it, because, like you said, it's coming out in a couple of weeks. So the next time I probably think about this game will be when I get code or whatever.
Well, speaking of coming out in a couple of weeks, we got our final round of Splatoon 3 previews. IGN's Splatoon 3 preview is up. It was done by the great Luke Winkie. And they said, Splatoon 3 is not a triumphant conclusion of a trilogy or a dramatic reset of the canon. Basically, it is pretty incremental, and that is a kind of a feeling that is echoed across a lot of the coverage with this game. I'm curious. We also got to see Splatoon 3 during today's Nintendo Treehouse event. A lot of gameplay, specifically from the single player. And I'm wondering, how are we all feeling? Is being incremental okay, or did it need more of a kind of a leap forward?
I'm broke, don't fix it kind of gal. And I don't think Splatoon is broke. Like, I'm perfectly okay with this.
Yeah. Go ahead, Imran.
Well, I was going to say that I was playing Splatoon 2 recently in, like, anticipation of Splatoon 3. And just remember that, like, the games are fun. Like, that's just the main thing, is that they don't really, I don't even know really where you would take it. And I don't think the market really cares that much about how you really move forward in, like, with full sequels. There's really been a time where a shooter has been actually had to revolutionize the genre to be popular and accepted and fun. And I think this game is probably going to, maybe more than most Nintendo titles, be a bit more incremental, but it's fine, I think. I doubt most people are going to care that much.
Yeah, I mean, I was literally playing matches last night. Like, there are still so many people playing. I think it took me at maximum 30 seconds while waiting in a lobby to play a match. Like, and Splatoon 2 has been out for years now. So, like, that's just showing the dedication of the fans. And, like, I was playing with people that I'm, like, mid-level or whatnot for my profile, but I was playing with people high level, people low level, like middle, like me. Like, it was so many people playing. It was great. And, like, the core gameplay is so excellent. Like, we're getting what the big Splatoon fans are getting, what they want out of Splatoon 3. We're getting new weapons. We're getting, you know, better training modes. We're getting, there's, like, new mini games with the little Tetris thing that's going on for our people who are watching it on YouTube right now. Like, it's really cool. Like, they're adding little incremental stuff that's going to, like, be kind of like just, hey, I want to play some Splatoon 3, but I don't really want to jump into a full ranked match or anything like that. I want to play something a little more casual for today, just to kind of wind down after a long day at Gamescom. Like, this is the type of stuff is going to be great for those types of days. But yeah, like, I think they're doing what they need to do with Splatoon 3. And like Alex said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, it's such a strong game. And I think I read that they're moving the online service to, like, Nintendo's home servers or whatnot. So, like, it's not going to be peer to peer, which is going to be great. The new I believe there's, like, the new app for chat is supposed to be improved for Splatoon 3. They're adding in-game replays. There's so much good stuff that they're adding into Splatoon 3 that a lot of big shooters don't even do. Like, there's no like, oh, let me go look at these replays in Call of Duty or Battlefield. Let me go watch the replay of these last 10-20 matches that I played so I can see where I messed up, what can I do better, what could I have done better. And not only that, let me watch my opponent from my opponent's perspective so I can see what they did so I can try to get better. Like, there's so many AAA games that don't do that. Like, Splatoon 3 is going to be fantastic. I cannot wait. I'm all in for this one. This is a day one for Jada. This is a Jada game.
It is still peer-to-peer, by the way. They are doing some server adjustments, but it is not like, okay, they're not massively rehauling the way online works.
Okay, cool. That's what I said. I said I believed I read. So I will thank you for verifying that before, right, for me, Imran. But still, everything else, though, cannot wait.
Yeah, Jada, you made a good point, though, about, you know, not having to jump right into a ranked match or anything. One of the things I really like about Splatoon overall is how low the barrier to entry is. Like, I feel like you can play it really casually. You can be really intense about it if you want to be. And I feel like they're not changing that.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. Tell that to EA, because they've been breaking fixed things since the very early days of their sports games. But I'm going to do a little bit of an early question block for y'all. This is from Gabriel Martinez, who has a three-part Splatoon question. The first question they have is, why are so many Nintendo fans afraid of Splatoon? Are they afraid of Splatoon? I don't know about that, but if I were to kind of guess, if this is a, is this a thing? And B, if it is a thing, maybe it's because the aesthetic and the third person shooter gameplay is a little bit of a departure from your usual Nintendo stylings.
I don't think people like the games sell very well. Like, I think Splatoon 2 has outsold every Halo except 2 or 3, one of them. Like, they're
LOL.
They're extremely popular video games that I think what happens is Splatoon isn't talked about that often because it is a game where a team can just be better than another team. And if you were going in just to have fun and not really care, then great, you're fine. But if you're someone who really doesn't have fun if you're losing, then you can go into Splatoon and just have a terrible time. And I understand that from it, like, that's just competitive games in general. But I think that is one reason that a Nintendo audience that is yet not super used to that lack of randomization introducing equalization, essentially, I think they can go into that and just not have fun playing that game. And that's why it doesn't really get talked about that often.
I mean, matches go by so fast, though.
So fast.
Like, I enjoy it.
Or something?
I don't go in caring if I win or lose. I just go in there having fun. But there are some people, and I've played Overwatch people like this, that if they don't win, they rage quit. They leave immediately.
Boo-hoo.
I mean, maybe these people that, you know, they're afraid of it just have chapophobia. I don't know. I can't talk today. It's a hard word, guys. It's the fear of octopuses. I don't know. Maybe people are just afraid of octopuses, squids, those types of things. Obviously, yes, they're inklings and squids, not octopus or octopi. But
well, the Octo Kids are in this one. You can play
the Octo Kids are. Yes, exactly. So maybe that's what's keeping them away. But yeah, I don't think, like Imran said, this Splatoon 2 is such a well-selling game. And I think it is bigger in Japan than it is here in the U.S.
Big time.
Yeah.
So, and to the point where they turned it into like an esports thing over in Japan.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just the fact that, you know, most people wanting to play shooters in the U.S. are more apt to play Halo or COD or Apex or anything like that. Or Fortnite, you know, Fortnite is such a huge one for the younger audience, and especially in the U.S., that it's kind of hard for Splatoon to kind of break into that audience and take away that kind of that shooter.
Gabriel also wants to know, rock, paper, or scissors?
Rock.
The Splatfest is going to be... you choose.
Well, I mean, if you guys are all going rock, then I'm going paper, so
wait,
I
no.
win.
I'm going scissors.
Oh, Jada, I'm always picking rock.
I mean, because I'm a scissors type of person. Like, you know, just, you know, you can use the scissors and eventually chip down the rock. Eventually.
Yeah.
Trust the old rock. Never fails.
Yeah. Imran stole my joke.
I didn't steal it. I went to the next line.
Stole my Simpsons reference. All right. We've got one more question from Gabriel in just a minute. First, one more word from our sponsor. All right. Gabriel finally wants to know, Fry is the best new idol, but can she ever be better than Pearl? What's your take, Jada?
I gotta see more. Fry looks amazing. I'm very excited to see what they're doing with the idols this time. And Pearl's classic, though. Pearl's classic Splatoon. Like, she's been around for a while. She's got a lot of fans. I hope they do a Splatfest where they literally do allow us to pick between all the hosts from, like, just do a month-long round robin of all the different Splatoon hosts.
So when they showed, when they were doing not this Splatoon Direct, but the one before it, they were talking about, future DLC expansions a little bit, and they showed a silhouette of Pearl and Marina. So I assume that future DLC is going to be, Pearl and Marina come back to do whatever.
Oh.
They're going to do a podcast. They're going to do a podcast on the side of the normal Splatoon, airings. They're too mainstream. Yeah. They're too mainstream. We're at the underground. That's what Pearl and Marina is going to come back and do.
They turned down the Spotify money for the podcast.
My own take is that I've kind of was alluding to this previously, but I think Splatoon 3 is going to be a little bit like Xenoblade Chronicles 3, in which they were both games that came out when the Nintendo Switch launched, and they're getting more refined, maybe improved versions 5 years down the line. And when the Nintendo Switch's user base is much, much bigger, it's going to appeal to the folks who are just looking for a really good looking third-person shooter, arcade game, that kind of thing. So I think it'll do extremely well. And actually, I personally am looking forward to it, not the least because of the actual single-player campaign. But as Luke was pointing out in his preview, lots of work being done on the margins. You can choose spawn points on the map. Squidlings can fling themselves up and over walls with a squid surge, while squid jump lets you quickly dart out of the ink while still in squid form. This has always been a deceptively skill-based game. There's a lot of very technical gameplay in this one.
Yeah. I do think the reason a lot of people are focusing on the iterative nature of this game is that people are not used to the fact that Nintendo now... It's not the same Nintendo that said, we don't do a sequel unless we have a revolutionary new idea. I think it's Nintendo that goes, this game sold really well. We should make more of this game. And I think that is flipping some people who are like, where's F-Zero, if that's the case. And the answer is F-Zero didn't sell very well, so they're not going to make
it. I'm sorry. F-Zero would never sell as well as Splatoon.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not that they're against the idea of iteration at this point. It's that they're really for the idea of money.
You know what? Let's get to do a F-Zero, but all the racers are the Splatoon kids, and it'll sell gangbusters.
That would actually do really well.
That would do extremely well.
You're basically describing Mario Kart 8, of because the Inklings were in that, and you did have the F-Zero tracks.
Yep. Well, there you go. Nintendo, see, they've already done it. So they've already done F-Zero. It's called Mario Kart 8 DLC again.
And Mario Kart 8 is great. So, hey, they know what they're doing.
Last thing, there's a table turf battle, which is a Magic the Gathering style throwdown. So people have compared it to Gwent. I have no idea what this is all about, but apparently it's part of the emphasis on customization overall, with a bespoke collection of table turf cards being the tip of the iceberg. I'm intrigued. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what the heck this is all about.
Yeah, this is intrigued. Yeah, it's one of the things I was talking about a little bit earlier. But yeah, they showed off some of the grids and stuff that you're playing on. Like, standard is like a Tetris box, like rectangle. I don't know why I call it a Tetris box. Rectangle is a shape that everybody knows, but who knows? And you're just kind of throwing cards down that have very specific shapes of paint. And your goal is to cover the most ground while blocking your opponent. And I imagine it's probably going to be something like you have a limited number of cards you can play. And so whoever is the most strategic about dropping their cards on the different fields, because they show the rectangle and then there was a cross shaped one as well in one of the teasers or trailers. I think it's going to be really cool. I think it will do well. I'm very excited to try that out, but I love strategy stuff. So
I'm not usually one for deck builders, but this looks fun. And it looks like a way to, when I'm playing matches and I'm getting tilted or just I want a break or something, a fun thing to just do on the side.
Yeah, and that's one thing I really like about Gwent 2 and The Witcher 3. Like, you didn't have to do it. It was there if you wanted to, and that's, I like that option.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about Splatoon 3 is that there are always a lot of options. You can do Salmon Run, you can do the single player, and now you can do, apparently, the variation on Gwent. Speaking of RPGs, though, we also got a fresh look at Harvestella as part of the Treehouse. I don't know if any of you saw it. I was watching a fair amount of it. Looks a lot like Rune Factory. It's quite pretty. Has a good soundtrack. I don't know that I have a whole lot to add about this game, other than the fact that it's kind of a nice and pleasant surprise, and I think that it will go over well with a certain segment, specifically people who like anime and lifestyle simulation games.
That's
I love the idea of there being an evil season you have to kill.
Death season.
I don't know. Whenever I'm like a big like Harvest Moon girl, and like the idea of like growing crops and fishing, and I love games with a fishing component. I don't know why. I just always get hooked on them. Well, also like fighting monsters. Like that sounds. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even mean to do that. But no, I'm kind of here for it. It looks like a good farming, fighting, anime aesthetic kind of thing. I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm a little lukewarm on it, but maybe it'll be better. It looks a little basic in terms of the actual mechanics and everything, and the world is interesting. It's nice. Looks cool. Yeah. So I'm kind of playing a wait and see with this one.
Square Enix has been pretty binary recently of like either this is such a good idea or wow, you guys didn't put any like real value into this game at all. And so, like, I don't know if this is going to be, like, a Live Alive or a Chikoba Racing, but we'll see.
We shall see.
You're the second person I've met that pronounces Chocobo as Chikobo. So I'm glad that you're not the only one. I'm glad I'm not, like, crazy and remembering that memory wrong in my head from, like, somebody I knew in high school that pronounced it Chikobo. So, no, thank you, Imran. It's not a knock. I was like, thank you, because I thought I was going crazy with that memory of somebody else pronouncing it that way.
Yeah, all my Final Fantasy pronunciations are from when I was a kid, and I was like, oh, this is clearly, it's clearly Ramu. What, like, what else would it be?
Yeah, that was me with, like, Zelda. Like the Deku was always Deku for me. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, the Deku Forest, because that's where you get decked, you know? That was...
I called Bowser Browser until I was, like, 12, so...
My same friend who introduced me to GoldenEye was very insistent that it was pronounced Sephiro in Final Fantasy VII. So, yeah.
That's Sephiroth for everybody else out there that did not draw that attention.
Yeah, it took me a second.
Yeah, it's amazing how people get to where they go. All right. Let's do a little more of a question block. This question is from Patrick, who says, it's a refreshing breath of fresh air to see the delightful Sakurai share his enthusiasm and passion for games again. If when Sakurai announces a new game project, what type of game or IP would you like to see this developer take on next? Best wishes to Seth to feel better soon. Thank you, Patrick. What are your thoughts?
So the end of that video where he like shows what games he has worked on, it says TBD next project. So I don't know if that's actually like, that means he's started working on something, or he is, you know, just kind of saying, I don't know what I'm doing next. But the obvious answer, I think, is Nintendo is probably going to want a new Smash Brothers at some point. I don't think he's ready to walk away from that series. I really personally loved Kid Icarus Uprising. I think that game is great. I think there's a lot of issues in terms of how the fundamental controls work, but the game itself is fantastic. I know the development of that was very hard on Sakurai himself. Like he has said that game is just a thing he does not want to think about in terms of how hard it was to make. But I think if he went back and made another like action shooter or action game in general, I would really love to play one in a better development environment for him.
Yeah, I'm really curious if they're going to make, you know, another Smash at any point soon. Like, I have really mixed feelings about that idea because I love Smash Ultimate. I think it's a near perfect fighting game, and I don't know if we need more anytime soon. But then I also kind of miss when we got new Smash stuff. So I go back and forth on it all the time.
Oh my gosh, Multiverses is not...
No, it's
not a substitute.
No.
It's good. Multiverses is good, but it's definitely not the same as playing Smash with your friends. It's very different kind of experience. Yeah, I don't... don't know. I mean, we're used to getting one Smash per generation. So I guess, I mean, Sakurai's at least got until they announce whatever next console Nintendo does. So we got some time at least. But I think I'm with Imran. I would love to see something in the vein of Kid Icarus, something along that style. That is definitely where my brain initially went. I was like, that's what I want to see Sakurai do. He did such a great job with that one. Yes, controls were a little meh, but I think Kid Icarus needs a better chance to shine in the eyes of Nintendo fans. Like, it's been around for so long and it's not gotten the attention that that series deserves. But, you know, other people will be like, well, then Earthbound needs to get a new game too, because Earthbound's been around longer. I'm like, well, has it though?
I mean, the difference is that the person who makes Mother games doesn't want to do anymore, and the person who makes, like, the person who makes Kid Icarus slash Smash Brothers slash all that stuff wants to do more of those things. I paused during that because I realized Sakurai has a lot of genre breadth, like more than most developers and directors. Like, he's made platformers, fighting games, racing games. Like, he could just do, like, if he wanted to make another puzzle game, Meteos is fantastic. Like, if he wanted to just, if he had an idea somewhere that he wanted to do, I'd welcome whatever he makes, basically, I'm pretty sure would be great.
Yeah, and I think it would make a lot of sense for him to move away from a fighting game for a while, because he's been on Smash for so long. I imagine that's kind of, like, creatively stifling at some point, and he has so many other chops, like,
He said before that, like, Ultimate was, like, his goodbye to Iwata, so I imagine there's, like, a cathartic feeling with just being done with that game for right now.
I think that he's going to take a break. He's going to step away from it. He'll work on a different project for a while, and then he will come back, and he'll be like, all right, I'm ready to do more Smash Brothers. Like, let's go.
You know what he's going to do? He's going to come back and he's going to make a Waluigi game. It's going to be something nobody people have been asking about for Smash. He's like, I've got it. I've got the idea. I know how to make a Waluigi game now. And that's what it's going to be. I don't know what style or genre it is. Maybe it's a Waluigi puzzle game where all the shapes are L's. Who knows? Or upside down L's. Who knows? But
at long last, finally giving people what they want, a Waluigi game. Well,
I will say, though, I'm also just here for the Sakurai influencer era. Like, if you just want to be a YouTuber for a while, be a YouTuber for a while, you know? Do your thing.
Well, our next segment, we're going to take a look at where Super Smash Brothers and Splatoon and many other Nintendo games kind of stand in the great kind of circumstances of Nintendo's tiers. But first, word from our sponsor. We've been talking a lot about Splatoon in this episode, one of the newest of Nintendo's IPs. And one of the questions that comes up often is, it's one of the fastest risers in Nintendo's kind of collection of franchises. It's Milou, but where does it stand? Is it a top tier Nintendo franchise? And that's why we're going to do quick tier maker. I'm going to put various Nintendo franchises into S, A, B, C, and D tiers just as soon as we... here we go. I tried to make my own tier maker list. Did not go well, so we're going to borrow one that I found here. I would say that Bayonetta... caveat, I don't really think Bayonetta is a Nintendo franchise. It's actually technically owned by Sega. And some of the missing ones, some of the notable missing ones are Nintendo Switch Sports slash Ring Fit, which I would personally put into the A tier at least. Excitebike, Wario Land, and the Mario Sports games. But otherwise, we have quite a few good ones in here, including Mother Twice. Mother. And so I'm wondering, if we look at these tiers, where would we put Splatoon?
Are we talking sales or quality or a combination of both?
I mean,
like, importance to
Nintendo? I would say, like, just instinctually, like, think about it. It's like, okay, if Zelda and Mario are S tier, and I think we would kind of assume, like, these are the games that are going to drum up the most excitement, the most interest. Are going to be the games that everybody's talking about. They're the standard bearers for Nintendo. What about the rest of the franchises out there?
I think a hypothetical E3 like pop, I would put Splatoon probably B tier.
I agree. I'd like, especially like Yeah, pop culture impact and, like, you know, excitement. Like, Splatoon's good and it's always there, but, like, yeah, I feel like...
I don't know. I think if we think of it, you know, like, worldwide, I think it's got to at least go in the A with Japan, how big it is in Japan. Like, maybe it's through the lens of the U.S. Yes, I could see it definitely be kind of a B tier for those reasons. But I think globally, I think Splatoon deserves to be in that A tier, personally. Like, it just, it does a lot of things right. It sells really well. It's a pop culture thing in, you know, a big portion of the gaming world.
I do think if we're, like, factoring in sales, then, yeah, that does move it up to A, or maybe even, like, lightly brushing up against S.
I think it's an A tier franchise, personally. The fact that it started in the Wii U, first of all, that's amazing that it managed to pop that hard. And it's just the freshest that Nintendo's been in years. And I think it's really notable that when Smash Brothers Ultimate was introduced, it opened with the Inkling.
Yeah.
Like, that was the first thing that we saw.
Oh, I never thought about it that way. Really good point. Yes.
I do think with it starting on the Wii U, one of the things that, like, is actually impactful when you think about it as a series is that was a game that showed that the Wii U gamepad could do some cool things. Like, it came way too late, like, that the Wii U was already a failure by that point. But it did show, hey, we actually had some ideas for this thing. Here's one of those. And that's, like, if they keeping that series in that same level of freshness, then I think it does kind of go up there in the maybe A tier.
Let's put Splatoon into the A tier then. Another one is Xenoblade Chronicles. Previously, I would have put this in maybe the B tier, possibly in the C tier. Mm-hmm. Does Xenoblade Chronicles deserve to be in the A tier now? I would say it might actually deserve to be up there.
I mean, it's kind of Nintendo's biggest RPG franchise now.
Is it? No, I think
mean,
Fire
besides
Emblem's
Pokemon,
much
I mean, you've got Pokemon,
Fire Emblem, Xenoblade. That's where it goes.
Like, how well Xenoblade does, and that is their, they go off that in terms of how they think other JRPGs will be successful. So I could see B tier. I wouldn't be, like, against B tier, but I think in terms of Nintendo's own view of that series, they might put it closer to A.
I do feel like it consistently does really well. Like, it may not be always talked about, but every time one comes out, we're talking about it. So right. I would put it in A.
They're million sellers, which is not a thing you would say 10 years ago about that series.
Yeah.
And it has longevity.
Put it in the A tier.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, when it originally launched on the Wii, it was a very limited release and it wasn't like a massive thing, but it's found a new life on the Wii, on the Switch. So yeah. I agree. A
little RPG that could.
And they put a lot of money in Xenoblade Chronicles X, which they would not have done if they were not confident in it.
That Xenoblade Chronicles 3, yeah, I agree. Nintendo seems to just really like what Xenoblade Chronicles brings to Nintendo Switch. Monolith Soft has consistently been a technical, kind of like a top tier technical studio for the Switch, and I think it attracts a domestic audience over in Japan, and I think it's good. We were talking about Smash Brothers earlier, also.
And it's S tier.
Yeah. That's
with the amount of money they put into it and the amount of return they get, like, what is Ultimate at? 25 million now? Mm-hmm. Like, that is, if we're putting Zelda at S tier, then Smash Brothers is right next to it.
And the community just maintains itself. It's always going to maintain itself. It's just so strong. It's such a strong franchise.
So we would put Animal Crossing in S tier as well.
Yep.
Would. Probably.
Yep. Throw it in there.
New Horizons.
See, Animal Crossing, I feel like, is more A tier for me personally. Like, it's great. It's a majorly successful game. But I think it's also, it gets a little caught up in doing the same thing over and over again a little too much for me personally, to where, like, it wouldn't be an S tier for me. I love my Animal Crossing Island. I visit it once every 6 months. But, you know, other than that, my villagers, they do fine without me. So
it's an A. It's one of those games that I think, like, circumstance decides, because Animal Crossing New Horizons without the pandemic probably would not have been a cultural touchstone, but there was a pandemic and New Horizon raised that series into a level that it had not hit, like, by multiple, like, by an exponential factor. So I think in this case, I think it moves up to S, like, it, but if in a different alternate world where New Horizons just came out, sold as 15 or 12 to 15 million, then it would have probably stayed an A.
I
want to put some respect on original Animal Crossing too, because that was one of my first like big GameCube games. Like that was my middle school, basically. So as big as New Horizons was, like Animal Crossing was big before then too.
Oh yeah, no, Animal Crossing has always had its moment to shine for sure. If you look at the series as a whole, it's done well. But I feel like the original entry and the latest entry are definitely definitely kind of the peaks of the series for me personally.
Really? Not the DS version, for example, which I think is held in the 3DS version. The 3DS version, I think, is held in very high regard.
That one is also another peak. You are correct. Yes, I did put a lot of hours into that one.
If it got announced, if a new Animal Crossing got announced tomorrow, what do you think the hype level would be?
Pretty high, I think. I think that's the kind of thing that would, like, there's days where, like, say a Pokemon Presents just takes over Twitter. I think a new Animal Crossing would take over Twitter for, like, a week.
And it would probably sell very pretty well. Heavily.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the amount of, like, non-gaming friends I had reach out to me about New Horizons and say, I'm getting a Switch just because I want to play Animal Crossing. Like, I've never seen that happen with any other game. And yes, that was probably a lot because of the pandemic, but, I mean, it was just so huge.
We'll be ranking some more Nintendo franchises in just a second, but now, our final break. All right, welcome back. We are in the midst of ranking Nintendo franchises in tiers based more or less on popularity, how hard they're hitting at the moment. We've said that Mario, Zelda, Smash Brothers, and Animal Crossing are in the S tier, while Splatoon and Xenoblade Chronicles are in the A tier. I'm curious, does somebody else want to throw one out right now to put on the list?
I mean, Pokemon.
I feel
S-tier.
Like that's
yeah. Pokemon's obviously
has to be S-tier.
Yeah, I mean that's an easy one. Let's knock out the easy one that's there in the list. Like,
it's the biggest IP in the world. Like,
yeah,
yes.
Earthbound, S-tier.
If we're talking popularity, I would put it probably B. It is incredibly culturally
B-tier.
Influential. Mm-hmm. It is, but I don't like, you're never, we're not going to get another Earthbound. Like, eToy has said he is done with that series, and the series does not exist without him. So I think Earthbound's
it would be trending on Twitter if Earthbound got announced tomorrow,
right?
But
I think it would be let's say Earthbound and Deltarune come out the same day. I don't think Earthbound stands a chance.
Yeah,
Deltarune is directly influenced by Earthbound.
I think Earthbound would destroy Deltarune.
Kat, you're nuts.
I think Mother 4 would be a massive deal. I mean, the amount of, people don't shut up about Mother 3. People were obsessing about Earthbound and the original Mother coming out on Nintendo Switch Virtual Console. And it's been so influential on indie games, kind of across the board. I think that just the legend of Earthbound is enough that if Earthbound, the new Earthbound were announced, if Mother 4 were announced for Nintendo Switch, it would be trending. It would be a big freaking deal.
That depends on, honestly, a bit of what that game would look like and what it, the production value they're putting into it. Like, if it were a game that looked like, remember those old Mother 3 GameCube mock-up shots? If it looked like that, I think it would be probably, I would agree with you. But I think, if it stayed the way it, has looked in the past and was, a contemporary to Undertale or whatever, they're, I see people popping off for it, but I would not assume it would be up there with it definitely wouldn't be in the S tier. I could maybe see the argument for A. I'm mostly feeling B.
I would actually agree with B because and also we talked about, how much Nintendo values Xenoblade Chronicles. It's not really valuing Earthbound. And I do feel like its fan base is really vocal, but it's not maybe as big as you might as it seems.
Well, I think we're just gonna have to be at a 50-50 split because I'm with Kat. I think Mother 4 coming out would just be massive. I think it would reignite the fans' hopes and dreams. Like, you look at what Metroid Dread came out and did. Like, we haven't really had huge Metroid resurgence like we did last year with Dread. Mother 4 would do the same thing, and then that would start to give people more hope for F-Zero once again. So, Mother 4, it's kind of a linchpin. If we got another Earthbound game, it would be so massive. it's almost equivalent to like Half-Life 3, like with its legend and type of thing. Like it would be so massive. Like if Half-Life 3 got confirmed tomorrow, that would trend for an entire week. It would be S tier on almost all PC tier making lists. I think Mother is almost in that same vein.
I would agree, and I would go as far as to say that not only should we put Mother in the A tier, we should move Xenoblade down into the B tier, because I think Mother is a tier above Xenoblade Chronicles. Well, okay. I'm sorry.
Let me ask, what sales do you expect from like a hypothetical Mother 4? Which is, I agreed, we have to really kind of gin that up in terms of imagination to kind of guess what that would be. But like,
it kind of depends, as you were saying. Like, if it were a 3D Mother game, I think it would do extremely well. If it looked a lot like the OG Earthbound or more of like an indie RPG kind of situation, then I'm not sure. But well north of a million.
Okay.
You know, probably into 3 to 4 million range. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 did fine, but I don't think it did that amazingly in sales.
I think 2 pushed 2 million. Definitive Edition, I think, was 1.5. So like, I would probably put Mother around there. Like, yeah. Jada mentioned Metroid Dread as a, like, very anticipated, huge pop-off kind of game. Mm-hmm. That game capped out at, like, what, 2.5 million, I think, is where we're sitting at it with it now. I see Mother maybe hitting the same ceiling.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it would probably cap out around anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 million. But, I mean, that's a lot of units, you know? it's not Smash Brothers numbers, it's not Pokemon numbers, but I mean, it's still a lot of units, and that, I think Nintendo would consider that a big success.
I think I would buy, like, if you guys were selling A, I'd buy A, but I don't think it moves Xenoblade down. I think it's maybe a contemporary at best.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with A just for the legacy of it, but I would argue with S, and I wouldn't put it above Xenoblade Chronicles. That's where I would land.
Wow.
Yeah, I keep Xenoblade in the A. Sorry, Kat. Yeah. I'm on that
same
boat.
That's fine. I consistently underrate Xenoblade to the anger of our fans. So
the question is, which Mother?
The gold. Gotta go gold. Gotta go gold.
Gold, gold Mother.
Gotta go gold.
On that, no, we were just talking about Metroid, actually. Mm. Metroid Dread, it was a big deal. I think Metroid Prime, sneaky big deal.
Yeah.
Like, when Metroid 4 Prime 4 comes out, if it's good, I think it'll be a huge deal. Yes, exactly.
They know Metroid is like a huge, that is an E3 pop, because they did it twice. Yep. Like, they did it with Metroid Prime 4 and eventually with Metroid Dread. I wouldn't put it in S because it just doesn't do that well in terms of sales. Mm-hmm. Like, even Prime 3 or Prime 4 is going to do, I'm sure, better than previous Prime games. Like, that ceiling is well past. But I don't think it'll ever hit anything that's in the S tier.
No. Yeah, I think it's an A tier.
It's a B-plus game, or B-plus, A-minus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's an argument that could be made for S tier just in terms of, like, impact and longevity. Yeah. I will not make that argument, though. I think
it's a very American-centric point of view, though, because Japan just does not care about Metroid.
That's true.
Which is so crazy, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, I
think it's A. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree, A.
Because of Prime, mostly.
Yeah. I mean, Dread was a great game. They still have the chops, but like...
Oh, for sure.
I don't think it'll ever be... People always assume that like big Nintendo 3 or Zelda, Mario, and Metroid, but Metroid's never really had like a sniff of how successful those two series are.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's definitely the redheaded, child of the family.
I think Mario Kart should be S tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're at 45 million copies. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no.
I mean, we're never getting another one. So, like, it's just going to keep growing.
Mario Kart is the only game I've played with my Midwestern parents. So, I think that, like, just like the accessibility of it, there's a lot to be said for it.
I remember Mario Kart Wii taking over my college dorm room.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, I was a Double Dash girl back in the. Apparently, I'm talking about the GameCube a lot in this episode. But yeah, big Double Dash girl.
Mario Kart 8. Mm-hmm. Mario Kart 8 boosted Wii U sales to the point where people were actively looking for the things.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't matter. That game is platform agnostic. People love Mario Kart. It's like S plus tier almost.
Mm.
Does somebody want to shout one out?
Star Fox. I think that's a C tier for me. Like, it's, it was such a big thing, yeah. But it's been such a, it's been in the doldrums for so long, and we just haven't really seen it raise to the heights that it could reach. Yeah. Like, I want Star Fox to be a B, A tier.
Please be good, Star Fox.
If we were only talking about Star Fox 64, it would be A or B, but we're not. Yeah. There's a long, long series that is just not meeting its potential.
It's been so bad lately.
I maybe stick at C.
I think it goes in D tier. I'm sorry, Star Fox.
No, not D
just
D-tier.
Because, yeah. No, Star Fox 64 was too good for D.
Thank you, Alex. Command. I knew you were my best friend.
Yes. I mean, between Star Fox Adventures, Command, 64, and Assault, those were all solid entries into the Star Fox line. I think those four alone help it keep it out of the D tier.
Right.
But yeah.
But it's been dormant for too long.
I think D tier is like Mario Party, which again,
what?
That's successful.
No
not
way.
Great
no.
Video games.
Are you kidding me?
They're great.
No, I legitimately think you stick Mario Party at like the D tier.
Absolutely.
Those are games that like they
at
are sometimes
a.
fun.
At least a.
Hater.
I think Mario Party is a C tier.
That's a.
I think it's
a B tier. Are you kidding me?
I think it's a strong. I think it's a strong C, like maybe a B. I could see the argument for B, just for the longevity of the series. But let's not forget, like every other Mario Parter, every other Mario Party is
that's what they call
excellent.
Them from now on.
Yes, every other Mario Party is excellent, and the rest of the ones in between are. They're okay. They're fine.
The one with the car broke me. I was like, no, I'm done with the series after that.
Yeah, the car one was not great. Then we had Superstar Rush, I think, on the DS was not great. Like, you know, it's a BC tier at best for Mario Party. Who's playing Mario Party over Mario Kart at these parties? Like, that's the big thing.
You get too competitive with people because I'm too good at Mario Kart, so no one will play with me. So we play Mario Party.
I have a lot of resentment to Mario Party because back in the day when it came out in the original, Super Smash Brothers came out at around the same time as the original Mario Party. Mm-hmm. We'd play Smash Brothers. I'm like, I want to play Smash Brothers. And they'd be like, let's play some Mario Party. I'd be like, how dare you?
Yep.
How dare you turn off Smash Brothers for this?
I think it depends on the crowd. If you have a crowd of people who really don't game, Mario Party is the most accessible.
Right.
And every
but
time
also,
I see
like,
it,
it's accessible for the same reasons I think it's kind of a bad game, where they're afraid, not afraid, they are unwilling to make anything particularly interesting or complex. And so they end up making like, they end up trying to innovate around the edges, and we end up with things like the car that just make for a worse board game overall.
Yeah, but it sells also. It sells. It's reliable. It's a priority. Every time I say I'm not going to get the new Mario Party, I get the new Mario Party. I would say it's at least B.
Yeah, I
at
bought
least
the last
for reliability,
two.
It will.
But it's like the Taco Bell of video games. It's like, I'm buying this and I'm eating it, but I don't feel great about it.
It's the best compliment you can give it. I love Taco Bell.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I played a lot of Mario Parties growing up. And then during the Wii era, I played this amazing little gem called Dokapon Kingdom. And that completely changed my perspective on what a board game with like somewhat mini games or what can look like. Like it just, I feel like Mario Party needs a big shakeup for their gameplay and their design around it to really modernize it from what we got in the 64 days. Because I mean, it really hasn't changed much other than we get more advanced
Mario Party
games.
Was really good though.
The most recent one is excellent.
That's also not an argument for it changing much because that most recent Mario Party is popular because it's the old stuff.
I also just want to point out that we've been arguing about Mario Party for so long that one of my lights went out.
I think it goes in the C tier.
I'll accept C.
I will accept that as well.
Yeah, but I'll accept it.
Well, we were talking about F-Zero earlier. I'm curious. Like, okay. We were saying, like, whatever, F-Zero wouldn't do that well. But there's a big, strong F-Zero contingent out there who would really take offense at that and will probably be yelling at me in the YouTube comments.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we put F-Zero?
I think it's solidly B tier. GX was great. Mm-hmm. There has been nothing there since. Every time they drag the corpse of F-Zero out for like Nintendo Land or something, it's been like, oh yeah, I remember F-Zero, and I never think about it again.
Yeah.
Dragging the F-Zero corpse out is the best way to describe that minigame from Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
Because it was by far one of the worst minigames on Nintendo Land, unfortunately.
I mean, nothing was as good as the Donkey Kong one.
Nothing was as good as the...
Luigi's Mansion one was my
Animal
favorite.
Crossing one. Animal Crossing Sweet Days was so good. Or as I like to call it, Puke and Run. I like F-Zero-ish. I never cared for it on the Super Nintendo that much. Because the Mode 7 graphics were kind of like, good music though.
I think if they announced a new one or a remaster of GX, people would be like, amazing, incredible pop.
Cool.
Yeah. But then like that YouTube video, like trailer would get like 500,000 views and then that's it.
Yeah.
I think it, okay. When we had a quote from somebody talking about the possibility of F-Zero like a year ago, it was in an interview over on IGN.com. They were like, that ended up trending on Twitter. You know, people were excited enough about the possibility of an F-Zero.
I personally think it's in the same area as like Mother. Of like, there's a very vocal, enthusiastic audience for it, but the actual sales like breakdown for it will probably not be that huge. I could see the argument for A. I would probably put it B.
Yeah, I think it's just like it's a little. I would put it below Mother for sure. Like, I think it's that same kind of thing where it's got a very vocal fan base. I just don't know how huge it is and how much that translates into sales.
Well, let's put it into the B tier. And actually, we're out of time for this week on Nintendo Voice Chat. We're only halfway through the tier maker, so we're going to have to turn this into a two-parter. We'll return to the topic next week, and maybe we can get Pear and we can get Seth, maybe Reb, to weigh in.
You're leaving Golden Sun here for Reb to come and like argue for the S tier.
Yeah. And it's going to be a lively discussion, I tell
you
what.
We should start with it in the D tier just to mess with her.
But Kate, please make sure to save that for us so that we can return to it. And then, hey, Nintendo Voice Chat fans, I encourage you to go make your own tier maker list of Nintendo franchises, and also tell us where you think Nintendo Switch Sports and Ring Fit and all of those and the Mario Party games and all that deserve to go as well. All right, that is it for us this week. That's follow us on Twitter at NVC Podcast and submit your question block questions on the NVC Facebook group. Thank you to Alex and Imran and Jada for joining me this week. Had a lot of fun. Great episode. Thanks to Kate in the control room. Thanks to our friends in the control room, Kate on the ones and twos. And most of all, thanks to you for hanging out with us. And remember, NVC is the only place you can
get the thing.
Get the thing.